for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I would like to read out the scripture from the Epistle Ephesians chapter 2, second chapter, verses 8 and 9. I'm reading from the King James Version. This is the only version I have got in my hands. That's why I'm reading out from this King James Version. Ephesians chapter 2, second chapter, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I would like to reflect on these two verses before I show you the DVD that shows you a little bit work of the Good News Ministry. And Wesley has already explained to you and shared with you in depth. But these two scriptures, and we have been saved by grace through faith. It is the gift of God. And no works can save. When you look at and reflect on these two verses this morning, and I would like to give a simple title, The Gift of the Grace. The Gift of the Grace to the words that I'm going to share this morning. Here is the gift of grace. From the grace of God, we have many, many gifts, but is there a specific gift we are pondering over and we are reflecting on this morning? And when you look at the picture of the world, there are many, many religions. I have come from a country called India, you know, and with billions, 1.2 billion people. And out of these 1.2 billion people, the second largest country in the world after China, 85% of the people are Hindus. And you look at the scripture, and these people, Hindus, there are many religions in the world, and most of the religions came from this subcontinent, India. And I don't know the exact date of this birth of Hinduism, but Hinduism came to India more than 1,000 years ago. And this Hinduism has spread across the world. Across the world, we see that there are nearly 730 million Hindus in the world. And out of every six people on the face of the earth, one person either Hindu or Indian. So when you see this majority of the people on the face of the earth, we see that they have their own strategy, their ideology, a religion, and they try to capture the grace of God. Our Bible tells us that it is the gift of God, and we have been saved by the grace of God through faith. And mind you, Hindus believe in the existence of God. Most of the Indians believe in the existence of God. But what they believe in is wrong. They believe in every sorts of things, everything of the creation. They worship the trees, they worship the rivers, they worship the stones, idols, and they worship the moon, they worship the sun, they worship the stars, they worship everything which are the part of the creation instead of the creator. And these people have their understanding or the existence of God. There are a number of gods for these people. And the Brahma is the main god, and Vishnu and his incarnations. Thousands upon thousands gods for them to worship. And these people worship the idols of these people. I was reading last night that I can't believe my own people, how they could worship these thousands upon thousands of gods and goddesses in all over the world. There are 330 million of gods and goddesses that these my fellow Indians worship, most of my Indians worship. It's an amazing, incredible situation. And when we look at this Bible Christianity, Bible salvation, and there is one God among these millions of gods for these people worshiping. And Graham, when he's leading the communion, he says, when you draw nearer to God, God will draw nearer to you. One of the gods in India says, if you take one step towards me, I will take 100 steps. I don't like to name that God. That God's philosophy, that's God's strategy or ideology is that if any one of his devotees takes one step towards him, that God will take 100 steps. Suppose you are here in Northern Ireland, in Balamani, and if that God is there in India, as the distance is about 5,000 miles, and if you believe in that God, if you take one step from this place, and he will take only 100 steps, and how much time you take to meet that God? But our God is not like that. As Graham says this morning when he's leading this communion, if you draw nearer to him, he will draw nearer to you. Praise God. And that's the gift of the salvation. When you think of these gifts, I always remember the Christmas time. When I was in the orphanage, I used to wait for the Christmas season, Christmas time. Because when I was in the orphanage, and this management of the orphanage used to give wonderful gifts, and like toy cars, toys, and some other different toys, each year, a different gift. I used to wait for it. That's the wonderful gift I used to get when I was a child in the orphanage. And when you look at the gift of the grace, it's free. And these people in India, they try to win the grace of God by doing good things. And that's the country we have come from. That's the country where we got the vision for Christ. And we need to see that these people are captured for Christ. And 85% of the people in India are non-Christians. And Hindus, 12% only Muslims. The percentage of Christians in India is just 3%. In the midst of this population, the church in India, the Christians in India, the Christian organizations like ours, Good News Ministry, have been challenged and they have been called to spread the gospel of Christ. And we are winning in spite of the challenges, in spite of the legal hurdles. The parliament in India and the state assemblies have been passing different pieces of legislation to curtail the freedom of the church, to stop the church from growing and to cause the troubles to the Christian communities. And there is a piece of legislation passed by one of the states in North India, Gujarat. And according to the provisions of that particular law, if any minister or pastor baptizes anyone without the prior permission of the government, that is a crime. For first offense, there is a small fine, and for the second one is a greater fine, and then is an imprisonment in the jail for 7 years. So the freedom of the church is taken away. And in the midst of these legal problems and challenges, we see that God is at work. And we need to see that these people in India understand that the salvation is available by God's grace through faith. That's the call. That's the call in our lives. That's the experience we had when we had no knowledge of God. When I came to the point of meeting Jesus, And when I had that encounter with Christ, I had this experience. By God's grace, I was saved through faith. And nothing in me could qualify for His grace and His salvation. That's the grace, that's the gift of the grace I received in a personal way. I want to pass on this baton of salvation to these perishing souls. That's the vision that God has been given to us. The Bible tells us that, and when there is no vision, the people perish. These people believe in God, in false gods, and they think that their salvation is in the end, this reincarnation. That's these people believe. And we know what Bible tells us after the death. We have the hope. We have the glory. We have the eternity awaiting us. But these people in India, their understanding is they get the salvation by doing good things. And once they have done good things in this birth, and they will be born again. That's the cycle of reincarnation. And it goes on until they are born again as a human being. If you have done good things, there is a chance of being born again as a human being in the next birth. If you have done any bad things in this birth, our people believe that you will be born as a pig in the next birth. So my friends, that's the situation, that's the area we are called to do for God. And that's the thing that we are doing and distributing this precious divine gifts of the grace among my people in India. That's the call in our lives. And God is so good. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But still, God, He is rich in His grace and in providing the salvation to the mankind. We praise God for this wonderful gift that God has provided through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know this body, we know this living body, and it is constituted with three substances. One, as you know, that is a simple body, a body made of the dust of the ground. If you read the scripture from Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God may form the man of the dust of the ground. And He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. So God breathed His breath of life when man was formed of the dust of the ground. And that's the body, we are living body, because of the life granted by God. And then this body, without God's life, is dead, and it can't move. When I weigh myself, when we came to India on 30th of last month, April, I weighed around 80 kilograms. You weigh your weights, I know, in pounds. But I don't know the pounds calculation, but you work out on 80 kilograms of my weight when I started from my Vijayawada, India. When I weighed here, yesterday, last night, I weighed 85 kilos. That's a great blessing. So people host feed us, and it's 5 kilos. I try to diet, and it's not working with my wonderful host, comfortable beds. That's another story. This body, it weighs and it struggles, and it's full of bones and blood and water. But the God's life was breathed into you, and that as a virtue of this great blessing. And you have a soul, and that's the soul that needs salvation. Your body doesn't need salvation. The living breath that God granted you doesn't need any salvation. What that needs salvation in you is your soul. What is the soul? You understand? It is something that your mind, it reflects your mind, your heart, your feelings, and what you do, your character, your personality. Your person is different, your personality. That's what you think, that is the soul. That needs the salvation. Here is the salvation. by God's grace through faith to this soul, not to your body, not to the life that God has granted you. And because God takes back his life once you're dead and your body dust to dust. But the soul needs the salvation. That's the provision that God has made to mankind through his Son, Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the understanding. That's the vision. That's the insight that we received from God for my people. For my people in India. That's the primary aim of Good News Ministry, to evangelize the gospel of Christ, reaching out to these people in the need of salvation. They are good people. Hindus are good people. Muslims are good people in India. And we need to reach out to them with the gospel of Christ. We need to help them understand the difference between the creation and the Creator, and the importance of the salvation. And they try to get this salvation by doing yogas and meditations and other sorts of things, doing good things, undertaking the pilgrims to the different places. They go to the different places, all the different temples and other things. They walk on the knees, and they walk on the knees on the steps of the temples. They climb up the steps by kneeling and walking on the knees to get the salvation. Friends, here is God's provision for us. As the scripture tell us that we have been saved by God's grace through faith. The same understanding we are passing on to my people back at home in India. And that's the thing that we need to pass on this morning to the people that don't know, that never come to the grace of God, to the knowledge of the truth. And we need to see that these people come to the knowledge of the truth.
And your love is great.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.